right, welcome to the Young Turks. Gigantic news ahead for you guys. So we had a week of announcements ready to go. I was going to tell you about, and I am going to tell you about, the four horsemen of announcements that we have, including one today. It was going to be our first story. It's now going to be our second story because of the giant breaking news that is happening right now. So now normally I tell you all the things that are going to be in the show. Trust me, it's fantastic. Let's actually hit it right now.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's far too much. Let's start off with the big breaking news. Small little update on FBI Director James Comey. He was fired today.
Wow.
Fired. Fired.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. Well, not exactly. Yeah. No.
We weren't involved.
Yeah.
But so, he was got. Yeah. Fired. So, no reason given. We have a quote we'll get to, but what's your initial reaction?
So, first of all, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, Democrat, or whatever, you might have an accidental reaction here. Your reaction might be like, "Ha ha, yeah, Comey, good riddance. You know, you got yours. You cost Hillary the election." You know, that's one of the 28 excuses they have for losing the election, with some degree of validity, right? Don't get excited. That's not what's happening here. It's not like Donald Trump is like, "You know what, golly gee, I think what James did to Hillary was quite unfair before the election." And it of course, after that election, after he had plenty of time to think about that, he chose to keep James Comey on as FBI director. Obama's the person who hired him in the first place. Remember, James Comey originally was the number two person under John Ashcroft, who was attorney general for George W. Bush. Now, John Ashcroft is one of the most right-wing guys in the country, and Comey was his number two person. So now Comey is a right-winger. Part of the reason why I was a little frustrated that Obama brought him in to head the FBI, it wound up costing the Democrats dearly. Now, he very much claims that he does not act according to politics. And there is some validity to do that, because the reason Obama brought him in the first place, because he stood up to George W. Bush administration while serving under them.
And sometimes to Trump.
And he certainly stood up against the Democrats when they had hired him. And I had said, hey, Trump might maybe be making a mistake here, because the one thing James Comey loves to do is stand up to anyone who's ever hired him or kept him on, and has a, in some good ways and some bad ways, a hero complex. Like, I'm going to do what's right no matter what. Now, again, I think that gets him into some trouble sometimes, because it's not necessarily clear what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell if he's overanalyzing what he should do or not thinking about it at all.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely can't predict how he's going to act based on his partisanship. I don't think you can predict in any way how he's going to act.
Yeah.
He just starts swinging sometimes.
Yeah. But for Trump to fire Comey now, oh boy, that's great news. What? Why is that great news? Because that means Trump's in a world of trouble. You don't fire Comey unless he uncovered something and you're in a panic over it. Because firing Comey says, there's smoke here.
Yeah.
There's smoke. There's giant amounts of smoke coming out of here,
you
right?
Hit the ejection seat.
Yeah.
No, but that's crazy, because I saw Trump's Twitter banner and it says there's no reason to think there's any connections.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, I might be playing that soon enough for someone else. Firing Comey, if you're Donald Trump, is almost admitting guilt. That is a politically disastrous move to make, unless you think he got you.
Could I add one layer to it? They fired him without a replacement. Like, this was like, oh shit, get rid of him. We don't know who's going to take his place. I mean, look, maybe by tonight we'll end up, they've got somebody. But that definitely seems like a knee-jerk sort of reaction. If you don't even have an idea of who's going to replace him for a tiny little insignificant government office like the FBI. That seems odd.
Yeah, and if you're the guy who's for rule of law and law and order, and you don't fire your FBI guy without having a replacement. And if it was a smooth transition, oh no, that's okay. You know, he wanted to spend more time with his family and we were going to replace him anyway, you would already have your guy. No, this is a panic fire.
Well, and also, I mean, especially, look, firing someone like that is going to make news. You understand that. And that's why they always ask for resignation. The idea that they didn't ask James Comey to resign instead of being fired seems hard to imagine for me, which implies that James Comey refused to and was then fired.
Exactly. So they might have asked him, but you know Comey, he's like, no,
I don't.
I, I won't. Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but if you ask, if a Comey's boss asks him to do something, the answer is usually no. So if they asked him to resign, he probably said no, there's no reason to resign. Understand this, if you hadn't heard it earlier, James Comey publicly announced in Congress that he's investigating the Trump administration for connections to Russia. So there isn't anyone in the country who's involved in politics that doesn't know that firing James Comey is basically saying, okay, look at what James Comey was investigating, because I don't want that to come out. And you would never, ever make that move unless he had you. Yeah. Unless he had you and he was gonna make that public. So Trump is in a world of trouble.
When you add to it, of course, I mean, so there's the collusion idea that they were sort of working, you know, during the election or whatever. That's one thing. But then earlier this week, I think it was Clapper that said he couldn't speak about something because alluding to the idea that there was a non-election specific business investigation going on that might prelude the actual election by several years. I mean, that could be a part of this as well. It might not be directly related to the election.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not yet.
Well, that was fast.
Okay, but this is the beginning. Or put a clock on it. Trump is now walking around the ring, getting stuck in one corner or another. He's hurt, dog. Don't ask him if he's all right. There's no way you fire James Comey unless you're in a world of trouble. That he had evidence that you had colluded with the Russians. Yeah. Now they will replace him with the world's largest hack. Because if he's already got the evidence, the only way you cover up that evidence is by putting an absolute political friend who will cover up for you under any circumstance. So Chris Christie, they're on line one for you.
Yeah, that's not impossible.
So we'll see.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, we'll see who he puts in. But right now, the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General who ordered the dismissal, the recommendation to dismiss him, and whoever the new head of the FBI is, will furiously try to cover up for what Trump has done. You're not gonna be able to bury it. You're nuts. Firing Comey can almost only make it worse. Yeah. So the only way that it makes any sense at all is if he was gonna put handcuffs on you tomorrow, then I guess you fire Comey. But otherwise, you have just started a giant political dumpster fire for yourself.
Yeah. And look, what one
ladies last and gentlemen, ladies and ladies and ladies and ladies and ladies and ladies and gentlemen, we got
no, not yet.
All we have is ladies and gentlemen. Okay, that's what we have.
It's coming.
Yeah, and just one little thing too. I mean, Trump doesn't like talk directly to the press too much because they're fake news, but he does tweet, and we do know we can chart what he's worried about at any particular time by how much he tweets about something. Look back over his history of the past 48 hours, what he's been tweeting about. He's worried about something, and it's probably related to Comey's dismissal.
One super last thing. Guys, not only do you not fire James Comey unless you want the political headache of a lifetime, you would never do that unless you were desperate, but you certainly don't fire him in a panic.
Yeah.
There were handcuffs in Donald Trump's future, and there might still be yet. It's gonna be awesome.
All we've got is ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm not getting too excited, but.
Okay, I'm fucking excited, dude. He's hurt, dog. He's fucking hurt, okay?
Yeah.
Oh man, that kidney blow is gonna be fucking great. Mm-hmm. When he does this, oh, sink that, ah, oh, right before he fucking crumbles.
Is there anyone you'd prefer to see in handcuffs?
Damn, what an exciting time to be in news. God, I love my job.
It's okay.
All right, listen, before I tell you the next, what was supposed to be the exciting announcement.
Yeah, and still will be.
Yes. Let me tell you one other fun thing. You know, we did that poll yesterday of on Hillary Clinton. Should she join the resistance or or go into the woods? It has accidentally lit the internet on fire. Over 62,000 votes in under 20.
62?
Yeah, in under 24 hours. And in the beginning, it was 93-7, go back into the woods. Mm-hmm. And then joined the resistance, took the lead. Yeah. What the?
Okay. Yeah, 4% of the vote was go into the woods covered in honey, actually. That's provocative. I don't know about that, but.
So it was like 55-45 joined the resistance, and then the woods made a comeback, and it's now 66-34 go back into the woods. So if you want to participate, tytnetwork.com/Hillary.
Yeah.
Join the rest of the internet in voting on that poll.
Yeah.
You know what? Here, let's do an impromptu one. We'll have to work this out. But tytnetwork.com/Comey, Comey. Okay.
What are you thinking?
So is Donald Trump done? So it shouldn't be Comey. It shouldn't be Comey. It should be, should we do just Trump? Yeah, this is the big one. TYTnetwork.com/Trump. Is Donald Trump done?
Yeah.
Damn!
And if you haven't already voted on the previous one on Hillary, go do that, because if we get 100,000 votes, we get McNuggets for the rest of our life. It's pretty exciting. Looking forward to it.
Okay. I have so much more.
Can I throw out one just a little fun thing? We're not going to do a full story on this. I just thought it was ridiculous. Did you see the thing about Trump and exercise?
No.
He apparently counsels people not to exercise because he believes you are born with a finite amount of energy, and if you exercise, it wears out that energy and you die sooner. This is multiple reports. He has literally told people who work for him to stop exercising because they'll die sooner.
Okay.
Which is what Victorian era physicians thought was happening.
He's done. He's fucking done.
Well, I don't know. That's not okay, directly
no,
related.
No, no, no. It is directly related.
Is it really?
It is. And I'll tell you why. No one that stupid can cover up a connection to Russia. If he owed Russia hundreds of millions of dollars, which I think he did, and then he made a deal with them about the election, he ain't smart enough to cover it up. Mm. And he's so dumb, he kept Comey on when Comey loves to be principled and get the guy who's his boss, right? And then to, oh shit, Comey's got me, I'll fucking fire him. Bah! Moron, I told you he's a total fucking moron. If you exercise, you use up the energy of your life.
Yeah.
The guy's a total blithering idiot. Maybe, as usual, I was right all along.
Maybe he could have covered it up, but it would have taken too much energy, and he wants to see his grandkids. I'm sure he already has.
Okay, grandkids. All right, we gotta go. He all right, so yeah. exciting day. All right, let me give you the next story. Okay, boy, have we got an exciting announcement for you guys. It's been an exciting day all around. You know, Joe Manchin, a bit of a blue dog Democrat. Not so much of a Democrat, period. Conservative Democrat has voted with the Republicans over and over again, voted for most of Trump's cabinet nominees, including Scott Pruitt to destroy the EPA, Ben Carson, the list goes on and on. I'll share that list with you in a second. But that's okay. You know why? Because his time in the Senate is about to run out. Damn. We've got a Just Democrat candidate that we want to tell you about. Her name is Paula Jean Swearengin. And she's like a nice lady from West Virginia, grew up there, got kids there. She's worried about those kids, three kids, lives there now. Her website is paulajean2018.com. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Does that mean that she might be running against Joe Manchin? You got that right, she is. Okay, paulajean2018 on Twitter as well. I'm going to tell you who she is, and I'm going to give you some quotes of hers. Now, how many times has she run for office before? Zero. So this is when they, the corporate Democrats would say, oh, please, I do declare. She's a real person, is she? Yes, she is indeed. She's a mother of three. She's worked to make sure that there's not toxins in the air or in the water for her kids, that everybody in West Virginia has a job and is safe, and that you could do both, that's possible. Man.
It's as if I've already. It's those toxins in the air and the water.
Got the black lung already. Okay, I shouldn't kid around about that. Okay. So let me give you some of her quotes. She said, "We are tired of being collateral damage, and we all deserve jobs."
Yeah.
So her point is, look, yeah, is there coal mining in West Virginia? Of course. And she comes from a coal mining family, and her dad was a coal miner, and her grandfather. But she says, you know what, we can have jobs and still not kill the citizens of West Virginia, that we could do it in a safe way. And that there are some ways that are acceptable to get energy, and mountaintop removal is not one of them. And you know what else mountaintop removal does? It actually kills coal mining jobs. So the only people in favor of mountaintop removal are the people who get paid by the people who do mountaintop removal, which one of those guys is named Joe Manchin. Okay, it does not create more jobs in West Virginia, and all it does is pollute the environment and destroy the great, great outdoors of West Virginia and the nature of there as well. Another quote from Paula Jean Swearingen here is, the Industrial Revolution was built on the backs of coal miners, our backs. We've provided power to America, and now it's time to empower ourselves.
Damn.
Okay, that's so now good. I want to show you guys some videos from Paula. First one is going to be when she took on Joe Manchin. It's town hall. She decides she's going to step up. They start to get people's attention a little bit. She's fighting for her community, and you won't see Manchin here. He's up on stage. The camera's pointed at the people asking the questions. Let's listen to Paula go after Manchin here.
Our streams run orange and black. What do you say about Kamala and wonderful West Virginia? Some of the cleanest water in the world is gone, is destroyed. Who's going to clean up the mess when coal's gone, Senator?
So she says our streams and our water is running orange and black, and she knows because she sees it, and it's fortunately what her kids have to bathe in every single day, etc. And Manchin seems to be saying up there, no, it doesn't. Yeah, if you're incredibly rich and you're living off of donor money, Joe,
yeah,
I'm sure you got filters in your house and you're doing whatever you need to do up in D.C. But don't deny their existence, don't deny their reality, because that's the reality that they live in. You don't know the stuff that gets put in the water based on the stuff that you voted for, you're wildly disingenuous. Now, here in the same event, she in a little bit later in the questioning, she's going to break down his false choices. Because what does a corporate Democrat like Joe Manchin want to do? Say like, oh no, if you don't vote with my donors, if you don't let me give everything to my donors, you're going to lose your jobs. Basically hijacking and holding your jobs for a ransom. She does not accept that paradigm. Listen here.
We want clean and safe jobs, and we want a future for our children. I'm tired of
talking about. These people want a job too.
Yes, they do. They deserve a job. They deserve a job. We all deserve jobs. You tell me.
We're going to agree to disagree.
So she said, look, we want a clean environment, clean water for our kids and jobs. That those things should not be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, some people want jobs, so we're going to agree to disagree. Agree to disagree on what?
That just diffused the situation then. Agree to disagree.
Okay. No, agree to disagree. No, you got to have poison water if you want jobs.
If somebody's talking about like being worried about their children's future, that's an area you don't get to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I think people take that pretty seriously.
Yeah. And hey, look, Joe, you wanted to agree to disagree. Well, be careful what you wish for. Now you're going to agree to disagree in a primary. Yeah. Okay. So we do not accept that corporate Democrats that shill for big business are going to do better in red states. There is no evidence for that. And we think that a person who's going to actually stand up for West Virginians will do much better in West Virginia. Yeah. So, Joe Manchin, you stand up for the donors, and we'll see you in the primary. So now, I want to give you one more video here in this segment about Paula's meeting with someone you might recognize during the last presidential primaries.
Because when the coal industry's gone, we're not going to have anything left burning, and it's going to clean up the mess. They have not, the stream water protection was the only water protection we had. They just got rid of it, and it never was enforced anyway. It's like a weapon to the coal industry. Jim Justice, the biggest polluting coal baron in West Virginia, is now my Democratic governor. He's mining 3 miles from my house. I've watched my children's, my neighbor's children in Kansas. I buried my daddy at 54 years old. I've watched my family suffocate. I've buried so many family members to this industry. It feels like everything's all amazing grace. I've cried. I've screamed. We need help.
I don't want to overpromise you.
That's Bernie right there.
Yeah, even in while he's hugging her, he's like, I don't want to overpromise you. He's like, but he wants to keep it real.
Yeah, because he doesn't lie.
Yeah, and so look, at that point, she's not a politician, not anybody. She's just a mom in West Virginia, and so this is the first time she's ever run for anything. Like I said, her grandfather died from black lung. Her uncles have it now. And she thinks that that maybe we can have an economy that works for everybody. By the way, now solar employs solar power employs more people in America than coal does. So it's coal
and growing way faster.
That's right. Coal is not the only option for West Virginia. The opponents make absurd claims like not enough sun in West Virginia. You serious? What a preposterous argument! Anything to protect their donors. So I got more videos for her in a second, but I want you to know who Joe Manchin is and why we shouldn't accept that he is the best we can have in West Virginia. So here are some of the nominees of in Donald Trump's cabinet and otherwise that Joe Manchin, the so-called Democrat, voted for. Scott Pruitt, in the middle of destroying the EPA now. Rex Tillerson, who was Exxon Mobil CEO. Neil Gorsuch, of course, the Supreme Court nominee, who's now on the Supreme Court, the most pro-corporate justice will hopefully ever have, but certainly have had until now. James Mattis for defense, John Kelly, Mike Pompeo for CIA, Nikki Haley for UN, Elaine Chao, Jeff Sessions, of course.
Jeff Sessions.
Okay, David Shulkin, Steve Mnuchin, the financier and swamp dweller that he is, Ryan Zinke, Rick Perry, and Ben Carson, the murderer's row of idiots.
You claim you care about the energy sector and you put Rick Perry in charge of it?
Oh, yeah. You put Rick Perry, who could barely rub two brain cells together, as the head of the Department of Energy, and you claim you care about energy. No, no. You care about the same thing Rick Perry cares about, rich donors.
Yeah.
So now, who is Joe Manchin? Some other facts about him. He's an alumnus of ALEC, that's the American Legislative Exchange Council. That is the deeply, deeply right-wing group who works for corporations and who oftentimes will print out memos that other legislators will take and just simply submit as bills. So you work for ALEC, that means you work for multinational corporations. He doesn't work for West Virginians. You know, right, there's an article out today about, well, they're like, on the other hand, yes, Paula Swearingen is going to, it was released today, earlier today. She's gonna run in a primary, she's backed by Just Democrats, brand new Congress, We Will Replace You, all these different groups, right? She's the real progressive in the race, the real Democrat in the race. They say, but Joe Manchin has more money. Where do you think he got that money?
Regular people, $27 at a time, I have to imagine.
Yeah, and who do you think he works for? He works for the people that give him that money. By the way, go to PaulaJean2018.com. She's only taking small donations. She's not taking corporate money. She's not taking PAC money. She's not gonna sell you out for some corporation who gave her a ton of money. She's not gonna work for ALEC. That's not how it works, okay? PaulaJean2018.com. Okay, more on Joe Manchin. He voted to defund Planned Parenthood. And because of the video, then he later changed his mind. I got hilarious pictures on that in a second. I'll come back to that. He wants a new war on drugs because the old war on drugs was not enough. So he's gonna add another war on drugs on top of it because of the opioid epidemic. So your idea is more knuckleheaded, not prevention and healthcare, etc., but a new war on drugs, more war. This is a guy who claims to be a Democrat. What part of this is Democratic? And of course he serves big energy and big pharma, and in fact, on that stuff, his record is disastrous. Pharmaceutical companies like the ones that jacked up the prices on EpiPen, and of course, all the people who tell you that, no, if you want jobs in West Virginia, you're gonna have to take the toxins with it.
Yeah.
And now let me go to those pictures. So here's Joe Manchin, the picture that he took recently, saying, I stand with Planned Parenthood. Now that's after he switched his vote. In the beginning, he sees the job, that hack job video, and says, okay, that's it, I'm gonna cut Planned Parenthood's funding. Then he says, okay, never mind, I switched my mind, and he says, I stand with Planned Parenthood. After that, he takes this picture. Don't need Planned Parenthood, yeah! No, this is after he switched his vote. And that's a pro-life activist there, or anti-choice activist, and he proudly stands with a sign that says, we don't need Planned Parenthood.
Best case scenario, Joe Manchin, it turns out, is illiterate, can't read signs.
Yeah.
That's the only defense for that.
That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario and the more likely one is Joe Manchin will say anything to trick you into voting for him because he's never gonna represent you anywhere. Planned Parenthood, not Planned Parenthood, he doesn't care. He's like, where's my check?
Yeah, and he willingly, like, especially in the case of the Planned Parenthood, but also the idea that he's on the side of coal miners because he supports the corporations that formerly employed them. He just willingly accepts the conservative corporate framing for every issue. He's at best a simpleton who goes along with conservatives. And I have been trying since you revealed that she would be priming, I've been trying to come up with someone who deserves a primary more. And I don't think that there is one. I think that he is exactly the sort of person that we need to be primarying. And especially, he saw what happened. Trump got elected. He can see what's changing in this country. And still, even after that, he votes for Jeff Sessions. He votes for, I mean, you went down the list. He's learned nothing. He needs to be taught something.
Yes. And
perhaps through retirement.
Yeah. And worse yet, guys, when he votes for all those Republican positions, the Republicans then turn around and go, you see that? It's all bipartisan.
Bipartisan.
See, the reasonable Democrats like Joe Manchin agree that we should give massive tax cuts to the rich. We should do all of the Republican agenda. And the unreasonable Democrats just won't agree.
Yeah.
So now, finally, I want to give you one more set of videos from Paula at a rally that where she told her story. Real quick, let's watch this as well.
I was born in West Virginia, and I was born a coal miner's daughter, granddaughter. My stepdad was in the coal mines. My uncles were in the coal mines. And in West Virginia, you're taught to live, breathe, eat, literally coal. We are taught that coal defines us. So as a little girl, I was proud of my coal heritage. I was proud to be the coal miner's daughter. And I watched the progression of what coal could do to my family. I wasn't so proud anymore because my grandfather spent 45 years in the coal mines and I watched him suffocate to death. My father served in the military and he was in Korea and he was a coal miner. And he had cancer and I watched him suffocate. My stepfather has heart disease, has had open heart surgery. And he gets up every morning and he... I was born in West Virginia and I was born a coal miner. And he gets up every morning and he suffers. But that was only the beginning of what I knew about suffering in Appalachia. Because the mountains was the most beautiful place in the world to me. That's my home. And I woke up one day to look around me and they started blowing those mountains up. The places that I used to play when I was a little girl and I enjoyed, and the cleanest water in the world, now runs black and orange in West Virginia.
She wants to, wow. She wants to fix that. She wants sustainable energy. She wants those jobs in West Virginia. She wants infrastructure and she's gonna fight for that in West Virginia. And then finally, this happened to be an issue she cares about. She traveled up to Massachusetts to talk there. They'd asked her because she's such a powerful activist in West Virginia. I want you to watch the end of that speech as well.
It's fueled by that coal-fired plant is fueled by the blood of my people, and it's fueled by your blood. There's no reason, Governor Patrick, that I should give you my children to fire that plant.
Now that's strong. That's what we want. We want strong voices actually standing up for you guys.
Strong and obviously real. That you could have taken any 20-second chunk out of that, and it's more authentic than every word Joe Manchin has ever said in his life strung together. Oh God, I can't wait for the debate.
Real people for real change, justdemocrats.com, paulajean2018.com. They say she won't be able to raise enough money. Well, we'll see about that, won't we? Okay, that's up to you guys. All right, so we got to take a break here, guys. Yeah. We have more news for you guys, a lot more news, including developments in the healthcare that is very, very important. So we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. I got a couple of quick tweets for you guys. Dr. Chaos MD writes in, but when Trump fired people on The Apprentice, he never hears from them again. So firing Comey will make his mess go away.
Just like with Yates.
Yeah.
They just recede. You know,
I think so little of Trump's intelligence that I think there's some chance he literally thinks that. Okay. Owlboy writes in, what if the new TVIT investigative journalism team were to break Donald Trump's downfall?
I hope they do.
You think I'm not dreaming about that?
Unleash the Kraken.
Yeah.
As they do it.
Yeah, well, it's a little tough, but thank you for believing in us. The Savage Red Panda says, Trump discussed firing the guy investigating him about Russia with an attorney general who recused himself from investigations about Russia. Excellent point.
Yeah, I didn't even make that connection.
That's right.
How could he have been involved in that?
Savage Red Panda gets a t-shirt.
That is a good point. That is savage.
Yeah. Mr. Panda, you made that point probably a good 24 hours before the rest of the media will pick it up. So,
I'm going to be making it tomorrow, and I'm not going to cite him.
So great job, t-shirt for him. And then finally, Admiral Marsden says, go Paula Jean, go. Also, Joe Manchin should just cross over to the other side already, to the Republicans, I mean. Yeah, I hear you on that too. All right, speaking of Republicans, we got a lot of ones in the news. Let's do it, John.
Let's do it. Trump care is incredibly unpopular, epically so. And that could end up being really bad news for the Republican congressmen who voted for it. So how are they going to respond to that, potential threat to their future? Well, it turns out that they're just going to go and lie about what's actually in the bill and try to fool you into thinking that they're not the ones who are responsible for this in the first place. And we have several examples of this, starting with Tom Price, head of Health and Human Services. So one of the problems that people have with this bill the most is the massive cuts to Medicaid that are coming. They're going to throw far more than 10 million people off the program. So that seems like something you'd want to be clear in your position on. And Jake Tapper is going to try to get him to be clear. Let's see if he succeeds.
Making any cuts to Medicaid, but according to the Congressional Budget Office, the health care bill that just passed the House would cut $880 billion over 10 years from Medicaid.
What we're fashioning is a system that would allow the states to tailor their Medicaid program to those specific individuals, thereby saving money, yes, but also making it so that they have a higher level of care, higher quality of care than they currently do.
But the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, looked at the plan that passed the House, although there were some changes to it, and said 14 million people who are on Medicaid will no longer be able to be on Medicaid.
Remember that there are no cuts to the Medicaid program. There are increases in spending. But what we're doing is apportioning it in a way that allows the states greater flexibility to cover their Medicaid and care for their Medicaid population. This is incredibly important. And I know that you know, the media loves to talk about the cuts that the CBO talks about. But again, what the Congressional Budget Office measures is spending as if nothing changes at all, as if the program is doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Are you actually saying that $808 billion in cuts, according to the CBO, however you want to talk about that not being a cut, that's actually not going to result in millions of Americans not getting Medicaid?
Absolutely not.
$880 billion, that's a cut from Medicaid. How is that not a broken promise?
Well, look again, Jake, the winners under Obamacare were the federal government and insurance companies. The winners under the program that we provide and that we believe is the most appropriate will be patients and families and doctors.
Yeah, I got to say, if you know someone who's currently benefiting from Medicaid, the idea that they could theoretically be thrown off, so a fate that's potentially facing millions of Americans, that little smile on his face throughout that should just make your stomach churn. He's so thrilled at the changes they're making. And also, I mean, look, he said, well, yeah, the $880 billion, the CBO is estimating it against if we didn't pass the bill. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, the effect of your bill. What was that? What was that supposed to mean even?
Yeah. So he's become Baghdad Tom. There are no cuts to Medicaid.
There are no cuts.
Remember Baghdad Bob in the Iraq War? Mm-hmm. There are no American tanks in Baghdad.
Yeah.
We're killing them. They are dropping pencils that are actually bombs. But there are no Americans in Baghdad, as like Americans are rolling right behind them, yeah. Right? So $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid doesn't matter. I'll just come on TV and lie and say yeah. There are none. There are no cuts.
He also says the media loves to talk about this, as the lower third at the bottom says seven GOP governors voice concerns about Medicaid cuts. I love that little matchup there. Yeah, look, he said it's going to give the states increased flexibility to meet their Medicaid obligations. Like if I robbed you of every cent you have, it would provide increased flexibility to feed yourself later that day.
He said
that is scary talk.
He said the Medicaid population will be cared for in a better way. So how's that for Orwellian? No, no, no. If we cut all of your money, you will be better off for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
So, look, denying what's actually in the bill, that is certainly one strategy that they've been using, will continue to use. But what if they muddy the waters a little bit? What if they make you think that it's not just a Republican thing? Let's take a look at this. This is Congressman Denham. Here's a strategy that he took at a town hall.
Can I just clarify? You read the entire bill before you voted on it?
Yes.
You did.
You're yes.
One congressman that we know of who read the entire bill.
Oh, I don't know that that's true. It was read in committee. It was read a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. Bipartisan, both parties working together, yes.
Okay, Ms.
Important to note, not a single Democrat voted for it.
I think he's got a different definition of bipartisan. Both parties working on it together. Yeah, well, maybe you guys worked on it together and then they all voted no, which would mean that it was not bipartisan. Remember, this was one of the main lines of attacks that Republicans had against Obamacare. Well, they didn't work with us, you know, and so they didn't reach out to us at all and they didn't get any Republican votes. Well, you didn't get any Democratic votes. You didn't, and that's not even true that they worked together. They didn't reach out to Democrats at all, at all. They didn't ask their opinion. They didn't make one amendment to try to get any Democratic votes. They didn't even bother trying to get Joe Manchin's vote so far. And yeah, he's ready to give it to him, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, just give me an opportunity to give it to you. So it's just become totally Orwellian. Where, and they figure it doesn't matter. We've been attacking the press so much. We'll just lie and then tell you that the press is lying.
Exactly.
And then we'll get our old knucklehead guys to vote for us. But that congressman happens to be in a district that voted more for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump. I think he's in a world of trouble and doesn't even know it.
Yeah, and it gets even a little bit more disgusting than that. First of all, to expand on the Medicaid problem, what exactly they're changing. The AHCA, the Republican bill, Trump Care, doesn't just cut from Medicaid. It turns the remaining funding into a block grant and frees states from federal requirements. This would allow states to cut benefits to children and adults, charge unlimited premiums, deductibles, and co-payments, and deny coverage to eligible individuals. And again, he described it as the previous beneficiaries were the insurance companies. Now it's the people. The people want the states to be able to charge higher deductibles and co-payments and all that, I'm sure. But then you bear in mind some of the other points, like the fact that rape and pregnancy can be considered pre-existing conditions, the way that pre-existing conditions in general can result in you paying far more for your health insurance. We're talking not just twice as much, up to 100 times or more, depending on what conditions you have. So understand that. Understand who's being targeted by this new bill. And then take a look at this ad from the GOP that's trying to get out in front of the backlash that Paul Ryan is going to find when he goes back to his home district.
To cut the deficit and provide $1 trillion of job-creating tax relief. It puts patients and doctors back in charge of health care, eliminating Washington's expensive mandates, empowering states to reduce health care costs, and protecting people with pre-existing conditions. The Republican Health Plan provides families with more choices, better coverage, and lower premiums. Thank Paul Ryan and House Republicans for keeping their word and fighting for the health care we deserve.
Everybody's so happy the mom is taking the selfie with the kid. I hope the kid wasn't born with some sort of cancer or something. She might find out that she's gonna have to pay far more for her health insurance.
So look, I want you to understand something really, really important. The Republican plan is we're gonna give all the money to the rich. In this case, it's, you know, the question of Tom Price, who benefits and who doesn't, right? To be fair, it's not just the rich. The young and the healthy are beneficiaries of this plan. It's true. Their premiums will go down a little bit. God help you if you're old or if you're sick, you've got a pre-existing condition, you're in a world of hurt, right? If you relied on Medicaid, you're not well off, you're in a world of hurt, okay? But there's one other beneficiary besides the young and the healthy. That is the incredibly wealthy. They're gonna get a $756 billion tax cut. Then they're gonna turn around and give a very tiny percentage of that to Republican politicians who will run ads like that.
Yeah.
And the plan for Republicans is it doesn't matter. We pass something that helps our donors and hurts your family. And then we do an ad where we pretend that it helps your family. And we'll fill it with lots of people that are African Americans and old people and et cetera, and families and kids. And we'll pretend that we're helping them. And we'll put in giant bold letters how it covers you if you have a pre-existing condition, which is not true. The states actually can cut it. They have that option, right? They can cut that provision. So they think it doesn't matter. We'll just buy TV ads filled with lies with our donor money. And then we'll wind up winning the elections anyway. I think because of the internet, they're in for a rude, rude awakening. But that has been their plan for a long, long time. That's what their plan is right now.
I think in this case, I would say even without the internet, it's a stupid strategy that's going to fail. Because the thing is, you can pull a lot of stuff over people in America, theoretically. But when it comes to their healthcare, people know how much they pay for their deductible. They know what their copayment is. They understand if they have health insurance at all. If it gets taken away from them, if their wife was thrown off of her health insurance, you can't fool them with an ad into thinking that that didn't just happen.
I know.
If their family member dies as a result of this, I think it's going to be abundantly clear if this goes into effect, exactly what effect it has. And I don't think you can add it away.
No, I know. But by the time that it goes into effect and the states start to take away things like covering pre-existing conditions, et cetera, it's going to be 3 years later. And they're going to think, I already won a couple of elections by tricking you before you found out how badly I pulverized your health care.
Yeah.
Ha ha, too late. I already suckered you, right? So that's their MO, and they've done it for a long time here. So the question is, will you buy into it before you realize the actual real life effects? Because at some point, there is a reality.
Yeah.
And so finally, Mick Mulvaney, who's a head of Office of Management and Budget for Donald Trump, had this another great line. He says that people are going to get the affordability they deserve. In other words, you know, if you're one of our donors, you're going to get good affordability. If you're not, you're going to get the affordability you deserve. See, he couldn't quite bring himself to lie like the rest of them and say, no, it's going to be cheaper for everybody, because he knows that ain't true. Yeah. So instead, he says it in that way that I think accidentally rubs it in your face.
He basically said you'll get what you deserve from his point of view.
Yes.
For once, they're being honest.
Yep. All right, we've got to take a quick break.
Yep.
When we come back, we've got more for you guys on an amazing interview, actually. I want you guys to see this. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Marit Jacobson writes in, according to the GOP, pregnancy is a pre-existing condition. So from the moment you're born a girl, you're screwed. Okay, Chasman writes in, Trump equals consistent in our face corruption. So if you hadn't heard the news yet, although you probably have, and certainly you did if you were listening to or watching earlier in the show, James Comey has been fired. And that means Donald Trump is in a world of trouble. You don't fire James Comey in a panic unless he's got something on you. So we're doing a poll. Is Donald Trump done? Okay, yeah. It's pretty strong. It's going to be up soon. That's tytnetwork.com/Trump. Yesterday's poll is on fire. Should Hillary Clinton join the resistance or go back into the woods? Over 62,000 votes when in less than 24 hours, probably much higher than that now. tytnetwork.com/Hillary. If there's any more updates on Comey, we'll let you know. One of our viewers in the last segment made a great point that how could they said, Spicer said the attorney general and the deputy attorney general made this decision. How could the attorney general who recused himself from any dealings with Russia make a decision to fire James Comey? Almost certainly having to do with the Russian investigation.
And after Chaffetz and Sessions, is there any, and now Comey, is there anyone who was around at the beginning investigating or tasked with investigating who's still there?
Mm-hmm.
They're just being eliminated one after the other, some willingly, some unwillingly.
You know, I'll probably do a story on this tomorrow, and we have a huge announcement of our own tomorrow as well. A big surprise at the top of the show, don't miss it, 6 p.m. Eastern. But I'll probably do a story about Bernie too. I've now decided that, I'll spoil that part of it for you guys, that the natural candidate for 2020 is Bernie Sanders. Okay.
Eh.
Yeah, I know it's a revolutionary thought, but it is revolutionary, certainly in Washington. And And I think that that has a world of ramifications. And so anyway, I was calling him number 46 privately off the air here. Mm-hmm. I might have to call him number 47 now. Pence, warm up that number 46 hat. Okay.
Yeah, he was on that list. I think it was from The Hill, the 43 people who already might be running against Trump the next go around. He was one of the first.
Bernie, okay.
So even The Hill accepts it.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Anyway. All right, what's next?
Okay. Both Democrats and Republicans are facing renewed opposition at town halls. People getting more engaged in politics and getting in their face, asking them why they're voting the way they are, all of that. And at least on the Republican side, they've come up with this interesting tactic to fight it, where they have started checking the IDs and addresses of everyone to be allowed into the town hall to make sure that only their constituents are able to be there, because they're really only focused on their district. Now, we've got Representative Rod Blum in Iowa being interviewed by Josh Sheinblum, who wants to see how far he's willing to actually take that philosophy. And you're going to see the reception he got in this clip.
Well, I think some would make the case that you represent all Iowans. The decisions that you make impact all Iowans. So shouldn't all Iowans have a voice at the table, or at least have the option to?
I don't represent all Iowans. I represent the first district of Iowa. That'd be like saying, shouldn't I be able to, even though I live in Dubuque, go vote in Iowa City during the election, because I'd like to vote in that district instead?
Would you still take donations from a Republican in Iowa City?
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
He's going to sit here and just badger me.
All right.
We just asked why you wanted to do the interview. That was it. Congressman, take a seat. Congressman, I insist. Let's talk about.
Take donations from
Wow. Okay, that was the most benign question I've ever heard in my life.
Mind.
Yeah, and it was like the first question. So, okay. So you're blocking people that are not in your district from your town halls. Okay, we get it. And he didn't challenge him. He didn't say it was the wrong thing to do. He said, so if you're worried about people that are not in your district affecting things that are in your district, and he didn't say, would you take money from the Koch brothers or George Soros or imply anything evil? He just said, would you take money from a Republican?
Republican.
In Iowa City, that is not in your district. How dare you, you outrageous star, and storms out. Like, what? I mean, how guilty are you? Why don't you just put up a giant wave a red flag going, I work for my donors, don't ask me any questions about that, okay?
Especially, like, this is the party that believes that money is speech. You literally won't let them speak at the town hall, but you'll let them influence it with gigantic sums of money. It's the best follow-up question. Josh Sheinblum did a great job there, said that it's just a natural extension of his philosophy that he supposedly believes in. But of course, it's not about that. It's simply about limiting any sort of strike back, blowback from what Blum is off in Congress doing.
By the way, I will take that deal in a second. If you say nobody's allowed to come to town halls that don't live in your district, but you're also not allowed to take money from outside your district, deal. We'll make that deal today. By the way, I want to give Republicans credit here. It's actually in some of the states that Wolfpack works in to get money out of politics, that is a Republican proposal. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's in New Hampshire where the Republicans proposed, we can take money and we think money is speech. I don't agree with that part. He said, but you can only take money from inside your own district, so you represent your district. Yeah. Well, that's a super interesting idea and we should discuss that. But that very idea offends that particular Republican so much that he's like, oh my God, I am shocked and chagrined.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it doesn't get talked about. Like, I understand, okay, maybe theoretically someone lived there, moved away, still wants to donate to candidates or whatever. But the idea that a corporation from another state should be able to give money for your congressional race, for a regular person, you'd have to say, what possible sense does that make? What does some halfway across the country, some corporation wants to elect my congressman? That doesn't make any sense.
So he won't let other citizens of Iowa talk to him in a town hall, but he'll let ExxonMobil talk to him through millions of dollars that they can give in donations. He'll let the Koch brothers keep on talking to him over and over and over again with the millions of dollars they can give in donations. So finally, if you're wondering what in the world was going on with the kids in the background there, like why were they in the middle of this random interview with a congressman in Iowa? That's because he brought them in. And the reporter was like, wait, what are the kids doing here? And he's like, oh, so you think all Republicans are evil? The reporter's like, what
does that have to do with
anything? What are you talking about? I just don't know what these kids have to do with this interview.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that they all live in your district.
So he was just trying to do propaganda. Yeah. What I'm a tiny bit worried about is KCRG TV9 here, he's their chief investigative reporter, Josh Scheinblum. Whatever you do, don't panic. Don't view this as a bad thing that, oh my God, you lost access to a politician, okay? Your reporter here did a wonderful job. It was a great question, perfect question. And him trying to do propaganda with the kids and then walking out is his problem, not your problem. Yeah. It's a wonderful piece of journalism. You should reward that and not punish it.
That interview is why you had access in the first place, to do exactly that.
That's right. And you know what you did? You illuminated your viewers. And now they, I think, have a much better sense of who Representative Rod Blum is. Yeah. Okay, he's the guy that, if you ask him about his donors that finances campaigns, gets awfully touchy, because those are the guys he actually works for. All right, we got to take a break here. So much more. We'll give you any updates on James Comey's firing by Donald Trump in the next hour. And then, of course, we've got a lot more coming up for you guys as well, including more madness at the airlines.
Oh no.
This airline, you might be able to guess. All right, we'll be right back.